We are talking with a lawyer for Jacob Blake's family here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. The Kenosha County District Attorney said Tuesday that the white police officer who shot 29-year-old Jacob Blake last summer 7 times in the back will not be charged. Outrage spread after the August shooting. Protesters and counter-protesters swept into Kenosha in the days that followed, seeking racial justice in the wake of the deaths of George Floyd, of Breonna Taylor, and other Black Americans in police encounters. How do you feel about the prosecution not bringing charges? Did you join protests? 800-642-1234. Attorney B'Ivory Lamar is representing Blake's family. B'Ivory, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. Happy to be here.
How do you feel about this decision in light of what you see going on in America right now?
Kate, we're immensely disappointed about the decision that the Kenosha District Attorney made in regards to the Jacob Blake shooting. We believe that there was more than sufficient basis to find probable cause to charge the officer. And I think this is another example of time after time where officers commit these acts and are not held accountable.
What is the Blake family reaction to the DA's decision? How did they prepare for this?
You know, it's sorry to say that, you know, as we just enter into 2021, that while the Blake family remained optimistic that just this would be one of the exceptions that we would actually get justice or an officer would be held accountable, I have to say that it's not surprised. They're not necessarily surprised by the decision, not because the case didn't warrant the facts to bring the charges, but just we believe that there's, and I've said this time and time again, I believe that there's three different justice systems in America. I believe there's one for Black and brown people, there's one for police officers, and then there's another for the rest of America. And unfortunately, you know, this was just the outcome that has become all too common.
This was a narrow decision. We heard from the district attorney, Michael Gravely. What more evidence was needed here?
You know, and that's our thing. You know, when the district attorney is to evaluate cases to determine whether probable cause exists, that a reasonable person could determine that probable cause exists that a crime was committed. It's simple as that. It's a very minimal standard. This is not trial. This is not a circumstance where we weigh evidence at this point. I mean, you do have to have a good faith basis to bring those charges, which I think that the outstanding presence of the protesters across the country more than established that there's a reasonable basis to determine that a crime was committed. So I believe that it's a great deprivation of the constitutional rights of America to not have the opportunity to be able to cast judgment. I mean, the family is not saying, you know, we will take the will of the people. The evidence should be put before the public, and the public should have the opportunity to weigh that evidence. What we've seen with the deliverance of District Attorney Michael Gravely's statement along with Noble Ray, it seemed to be a defense argument, a defense closing argument. It didn't seem like a prosecutor. It seemed like they had so many reasons and they took over 4 months to come up with a basis to not, you know, apply probable cause as they do in other instances.
In the district attorney's explanation, he mentions a knife that Jacob Blake was holding, saying Blake had the knife open and out. What do you know about the knife?
First of all, I believe that America has seen some 20 seconds of the video. We've seen where Jacob Blake was walking around the vehicle, and at not one specific time in that video can I point to a knife being open or him making any type of forward action against the officer. You know, myself and co-counsel Ben Crump and Patrick Selvey, we've had that video reviewed on numerous occasions by forensic experts and so forth. And there's not one time that we can point to where that happened. I think that there would not be such a large outcry in our country for the Jacob Blake case if that was evident. And I think that this is just another example of, you know, looking to treat African Americans differently when it comes to justice. Again, if they feel that it was open, let the public decide that. That's a defense attorney to find that. But I don't think that's evident based off of what we've seen.
We're talking with B'Ivory Lamar, the attorney for the family of Jacob Blake, who was shot in the back by a Kenosha police officer in August. Your thoughts on this? 800-642-1234. Christy is with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Christy.
Hi.
Hi. What would you like to say about this case?
I would like to say that I think this is disgraceful. That, first of all, I'm an older white lady. I think this is disgraceful. That no way did this officer feel threatened at any time he was shooting this man in the back.
Christy, thank you for the call. And it sounds as if Christy is supportive here that she didn't see an officer being threatened. This officer was not wearing a body cam. We're relying on this video that went viral on social media. B'Ivory, what is the significance of not wearing a body camera in this situation?
You know, I think that in this specific situation, I think the fact that the officer didn't have a body cam is not as material because of the fact that we were able to have it captured by independent witness. And I think that we can see the material parts. We see within a 20-second video, you know, Jacob walking around and getting shot seven times. And I think that the video is also very clear that there was not a knife pointed. And the possession of a knife is not illegal in the state of Wisconsin. Knives are used for a variety of different purposes. And there is no basis to deny Jacob for his opportunity to carry a knife just like any other American. So the presence of a knife does not warrant getting shot seven times. What is also interesting is that in the 2-hour explanation for a 20-second video, which America can see, the district attorney and Noble Ray both opined that, oh, well, they were asked, was it excessive to have seven shots? Why could one shot, if you did feel that there was an imminent threat, why would one shot not be sufficient? And their response was, oh, well, we're just, you know, we're trying to just shoot until the danger doesn't exist anymore. I think that's preposterous. I think this is a clear example of excessive force. And I think that members of a jury should be able to make that determination. If they feel like the officer acted objectively, they can have their experts opine during trial, not at this early juncture of the case.
Let's bring in Rosa now in Waterford. Rosa, hi. What are your thoughts?
Good morning. This has nothing to do with race. If I did exactly what Blake did, I would have been shot in the back as well. The 20-second video does not give you the whole picture. If you actually, I had the opportunity to listen to the chief of police, Kenosha, and he did a fabulous job explaining exactly what happened. Blake refused to listen to the police officers when he was told to stop, raise his hands, refused. He did not just walk around his car. What he did is he reached into his car, and that's when the police officers thought he was reaching in for a gun, and that is why the police officer shot. It was heightened emotions. Blake refused to listen, and if I had done the same thing Blake would have done, I would have been shot in the back seven times, eight times, probably even more. Who knows? Heightened emotions, things happen like that. That's the bottom line.
B'Ivory, go ahead.
Sure. I think that statement is misguided for several reasons. First of all, in the state of Wisconsin, obstruction, failing to listen to an officer's order, is a misdemeanor in the state of Wisconsin. It's punishable by a sentence up to 9 months in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. You don't get shot in the back seven times for not following an officer's commands. Secondly, in order for an officer to determine, the standard is what's called an imminent threat. Imminent threat is the standard. In order to have an imminent threat, you have to have an articulable basis to be able to determine that there is a threat that's forthcoming. Foremost, there has to be, so for example, if Jacob did reach into his vehicle, and first I want to point out that's a contradiction. The officer is saying that Jacob had the knife on him at the time he was walking to the vehicle. Now, if the knife was inside the vehicle, how would the officer even know that there was a knife inside? I mean, that's a clear contradiction in itself. But what's most important is that Jacob never turned toward the officer. You never see in the video where it's extended. You never see any forward motion whatsoever. And again, this is an argument that should be made before a jury, not at this early stage. African Americans are not getting the same deference when they're charged with a crime, they're just charged. If the evidence bores out later that, oh, you know, we don't have sufficient basis, they either reduce the charges or they dismiss the case. This, it should be the same standard that police officers should be subjected to.
Let's bring in Diane now in Madison with thoughts. Diane, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to comment and say that I don't find or see how any case that any police officer who is trained would feel as though they were threatened when somebody is walking away from them and that they shoot them seven times in the back. That just does not make sense to me that somebody, again, who's a law officer, knows what they're supposed to be doing, feels threatened, especially when they have backup. I just find that this is a very sad situation, and I feel that it is a racist situation. Thank you.
Diane, thank you for the call as we talk with B. Ivory Lamar, an attorney for Jacob Blake's family. Have you taken part in the protests and civil unrest in Kenosha in response to the shooting of Jacob Blake? Do you think the officer who shot Blake should be fired or face federal criminal charges? Did you watch the Kenosha DA's announcement Tuesday? What did you take away? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with B. Ivory Lamar here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. Let's get back to our conversation with attorney B. Ivory Lamar, who's representing Jacob Blake's family. Jacob Blake, who is black, was left paralyzed after a white Kenosha police officer shot him on August 23rd. The shooting was captured in a video that we've been talking about, and it rapidly spread, put Kenosha at the heart of the protest movement over police brutality and racial injustice. The Kenosha County DA's office announced this week it would not prosecute the officer who shot Blake last summer. B. Ivory Lamar is with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in James now in Ripon. Hi, James. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I would just like to say that I know civilian police force and military police force are much different, but when I was in the security forces in the Air Force, we were taught how to properly use deadly force. And then from what I saw in the very short clip that got shared around Twitter, Facebook, all social media platforms, there should be no reason why a man should be shot seven times in the back and killed when there is, from what we have seen, no evidence of the man trying to harm the officer.
James, the officer was not properly trained?
I could argue that he possibly wasn't. I don't know the officer. I don't know how the police academy is for mm-hmm. people going into the Kenosha police force. But I, at least from my perspective, I think there needs to be a better training regime for civilian officers.
James, thanks for that. B. Ivory, James is saying there should be a better training on how these officers go about these encounters.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. I think that it also begs the question, though, however, whether training was the issue, or do we just have a double standard in America? I think that African Americans are disproportionately affected in these circumstances. And I think that if we look at Exhibit A, which is yesterday's circumstance at the Capitol, yesterday posed a very clear example of where officers are put in an imminent danger. They're essentially running from crowds. And we don't see any of those individuals being, you know, shot seven times, or it would be a bloodbath at the Capitol yesterday if the same standard applied as it did in the Jacob Blake case. That is what our issue is. I mean, that's what the larger conversation that America has to have in these circumstances. So is training an issue? It could be, but it can also just be racial bias training that's also needed in these circumstances.
Let's bring in Karen in Stevens Point. Karen, hi, what would you like to add?
Hi, I just kind of have a comment question. I'm very concerned about his family, his children who, you know, saw the shots, and his wife. And since he's, you know, paralyzed partially now, he can't earn any money for the family. So I'm wondering if there's any way they can legally file for financial aid because of this, to cover for his medical expenses or for the children or to help them get by? Or is it a loss, just like the case?
Wow. Well, I appreciate that that question. I would say that there is civil remedies that we do intend to pursue for Jacob Blake. Part of what we've been doing thus far is just investigating and waiting on the investigation of the Department of Justice to conclude, so that when we do move forward, we have a very strong and adequate basis to understand all the material facts as it relates. But we are definitely in preparation for bringing a civil case, which will help address a lot of those shortcomings, the loss of income, his lost enjoyment of life, the emotional distress, again, for the children who was present when this circumstance, when this event unfolded. So yes, we definitely have remedies available. And I will say that the fight is not over. There has been, we're very disappointed by the decision, but we will definitely be very aggressive in moving forward.
After Blake was shot, we saw the nights of protest, the civil unrest in Kenosha. We saw Kyle Rittenhouse shooting three people, killing two people, seriously injuring the third. Is there any overlap between the Rittenhouse shootings and the upcoming trial and the Jacob Blake case?
Well, I think that it definitely poses two different scenarios and two different outcomes. You know, obviously, I think that, you know, I'm not sure how the state agencies and are looking at how these two cases align. I think there's definitely an overlap in, as it relates to how a person who's simply walking away with no weapon on his hand, making any type of intentional movement, was treated, which he left paralyzed, and the individual who went in is alleged to have murdered, you know, two individuals who were just protesting. So I think there's definitely some overlap as to how we look at these issues. But again, these are social issues that we just need to resolve as a country and as a whole.
Let's bring in Jason in Adams Friendship. Jason, hi.
Yes, I am.
Hi, go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, I just, you know, I've been listening to this all morning for a while here on my drive to work, and I just don't understand why we only talk about this 20-second video. Why don't we hear anything about what happened before that? You know, why, at what point does the warrant for a third-degree sexual assault come into play, that they knew that they were going there and they were going to be arresting this person? He knew that. He walked away from them. You know, at what point do we get past, and this is what this is all about, it's about the racism. That's what these lawyers, the defense lawyers, are bringing up with their criminal suit, that this is about racism. And that's what these riots are all about. At what point do we all just stop and say, you know what, the racism goes both ways? Mr. Crump and the lawyers, they're in every picture of every shooting that has happened, because it's about, they make it about them. They don't make it about anything other than them.
Okay, Jason, I'm going to pause there, and going back to Jason's initial question, what happened earlier in the day between Jacob Blake and others that led to police being called?
Sure. In response to Jason's comments, I first want to make clear that any sexual assault allegations or charges have been dismissed. It's been dismissed. So they're not even relative to what happened was in this 20-second video. The 20-second video is material because normally in these type of circumstances, there's always a justification for the police officer's actions. There's always a justification. They always try to assassinate the character of the victim. And it's not material whatsoever. What is material is what the officer did when Jacob was walking around, and what led to him decide to try to employ deadly force. That's the only thing that's material. What happened before that, he could have robbed a bank. He could have tried to climb up the Capitol. He could have done all these different things, and it's not material. What's material is what led up to the choice to exercise deadly force. So that's why the 20-second video is really all that's necessary for us to make a determination whether probable cause existed.
What reforms do you want to see?
Well, I think that I believe that every police department in America needs to have body cams so that there's accountability. We don't want to continue to just hear narratives that are put out by the police officers or the unions. We want to hear, we want to be able to see. And that's the only reason why we're even having this conversation today, is because there was an independent video that we could collaborate what actually did occur on August 23rd. So that's number one. The second thing is that I believe that officers should live in the areas in which they police. I think there should be incentives for that to happen. I think that when you have officers that live in those areas that they police in, they understand the culture. There's less opportunity or probability for them to be intimidated or feel not used to the racial norms. And I think it also ensures confidence in that community and that officer as well. So I think those are two of the main things that I would like to see. And number three, I think that there should not be three justice systems. If probable cause is good for a black or brown person to shoot someone seven times and he's bound over for trial, an officer should be subjected to the same thing.
How is Jacob Blake doing today?
You know, Jacob Blake's recovery is, you know, he'll never be the Jacob Blake that he was once before. You know, he'll never walk again. He's lost use of all his bodily functions from his waist down. You know, I would say that he tries to maintain to be in good spirits. You know, he's happy to be here. Obviously, many people who have been shot seven times are not here to still be around their family and you know, be able to talk about it. You know, so these are, you know, it's a tough road and it's an unfortunate circumstance. But I think Jacob is, you know, he's doing his best despite the circumstance.
B. Ivory, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me.
B. Ivory Lamar is the attorney for the family of Jacob Blake, who was shot in the back by a Kenosha police officer in August. Just ahead, we'll discuss how medical misinformation and myths spread and why some are hesitant to take the COVID vaccine. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.